G-12, Hall of Memories, New Birchwood, New Kerguelen. Having had literally no idea what to expect inside New Birchwood's so-called Hall of Memories, none of the humans could truly be surprised. They were, however, unquestionably stunned by what they saw. The external door Boone led them inside at first led only to a stairway, which, like that door, struck Dan as remarkably Earth-like, and more specifically, human in its form as well as function. But the sights that greeted them in the expansive basement-like hall were breathtaking in scale as well as number. The famous Terracotta Army was the first thing in Dan's mind when he saw row upon row of statues, but these alien equivalents were life-sized. The figures weren't visible from an elevated position due to the shape of the staircase, unlike their Chinese counterparts, and nor were they all identical to each other. Most striking of all were the vivid colors of the statues, which made them unlike anything the stunned humans had ever seen. Billy asked for permission to approach the figures and sprinted like a greyhound out of the traps as soon as Boone gave him the okay, and he stopped as soon as he reached the first row. Dan and Tara arrived close behind, having estimated they were around 80 or so. Finding just one ancient alien statue would have been infinitely beyond any of their wildest dreams just a few years earlier, and even everything that had happened and emerged since Dan first met the messengers did nothing to reduce the awestruck wonder they felt in this moment. The aliens, on whom the figures had been based, were clearly messengers, not architects or members of any other race, and the contrasts provided by their varied tunics and silvery blue skin was striking. "These tunics," Tara said, gazing along the first row and seeing all kinds of decorative flourishes. There were stripes, there were spots, and most incredibly of all, there were some more ornate patterns, including what looked very much like flowers. It wasn't quite the case that no two tunics were the same, like human fingerprints or zebra's stripes, but there looked to be dozens of variety among the 80 examples, and some of the most decorative did seem to be unique. "These are from long before the days of the caste system the architects imposed upon our ancestors," Boone explained, arriving last of all. "The days of expression, of creativity, of invention. The plaques describe why each of these individuals were deemed worthy of eternal life, if you will, by their contemporaries." Boone stepped back and looked down towards the covered feet of the nearest statue. "This is Sheen Rab," he said, "a doctor who treated patients so sick no one else would go near them. He died young, as you can see, and received more statue nominations than anyone else of his time." The humans couldn't see that the doctor had died young, in truth, apparently far less adept than Boone at judging the age of messengers any more specifically than into the binary brackets of child or adult. But the broader points of Boone's explanation almost brought a tear to Dan's eyes. These were the messengers before the architects, as good and true as he had always believed. "Is that some new kind of transcript?" Billy asked, wondering why he too couldn't see it, since he was currently wearing both a square telepathy patch and a triangular transcript reading patch. Dan and Tara, for their part, were wondering exactly the same thing. "Take a closer look," Boone encouraged Billy. "There are no transcripts here, and nothing else from the dirty hands or black hearts of the architects. This hall is exactly as our ancestors left it."